Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the second part of Revolution Radio today. This is Dr. Kate, the real Dr. Kate, I guess, broadcasting live from the Northern Great Plains. Good evening, all. Welcome to all of our veterans, those active and retired military. Thank you very much for your service. We're here tonight to talk about basically the usurper, Obama. There's no question in my mind and many people's minds that this guy is not eligible and that he needs to be removed from office. So there are three items that we're going to discuss this evening, and we have a couple of very special guests with us. First is essentially the Stop Them Cold group, started out of Dr. Kate's View, is planning what we're calling a usurpathon, sustained action against or pointing out the illegality of the Obama presidency, or occupancy as the case may be, and I'll be talking about that a little bit later. We also are pleased to welcome this evening Neil Turner from the Citizens for the Constitution, who is going to present really a call to patriots to begin to start getting this information out, focusing again on getting the usurper out. And then thirdly, we'll be joined this evening by Terry Dodd, the president of the Third Continental Congress, who will be talking about some unique changes to the Third Continental Congress, and also in a dialogue with Neil. So this evening, I'm just going to take a look at the chat room and welcome everyone. Hi, I have not seen many of you in a long time, but yes, it's it is the real Dr. Kate and JBJD. I'm looking forward to and hope that you will call in this evening on the National Popular Vote legislation that's going on. Terry, you'll be speaking about ineligibility for 30 minutes, not 3 minutes. So thank you very much. And good evening. I'd like to welcome Neil Turner from the Citizens for the Constitution. Welcome, Neil, to Revolution Radio.
Well, thank you very much. Here we are out here in sunny California that's now dark and dreary.
Very good. Well, Neil, I've had the honor of meeting you through our call that we had a few weeks ago regarding General Vallely's call for the resignation of Obama and the administration. And since then, I've received a number of emails from you regarding your actions. So I wondered if you could just do a little introduction of what you're doing, and then please talk with us about your initiative and how we can all participate, which is one of the great things I like about this initiative. So let me turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, I've been involved in dealing with the usurper for 2 years now. I was an elector for the Constitution Party in California in 2008. And when I became disenfranchised, when 55 electors were elected to vote for Barack Obama, I was concerned and got involved then. I was most concerned when I found that they counted all 55 electoral votes when everybody in Congress knew that one of the Democrat electoral voters had been dead for 6 years.
Ooh.
And I confronted my congressman about that, Brian Bilbray, about a month ago, and he had nothing to say. He didn't even say, I didn't know. So we have complicity of the entire Congress in this terrible thing of putting a usurper in our White House. So having been involved and seen all the letters that go out and people petitioning all the time to their congressmen and petitioning to Obama, and, you know, we're talking to walls. And it occurred to me that also everybody in D.C. does know. You know, there was a recent article by J.B. Williams. I thought it was J.B. about D.C. knows that Obama is ineligible. And ineligible for the office of president and commander-in-chief. And he went on to explain that even the Supreme Court knows. And even Justice Ginsburg has gone on record as stating that a natural-born citizen is defined as one of a birth child of two legal U.S. citizens. So, you know, we've had cases before the Supreme Court, and they've just chosen to ignore it, and everybody's aware of what Justice Thomas said when he said, we're ignoring it. Of course, Pelosi and the DNC knows because of the exposure of the different notarized documents stating that the Obama ticket, Biden ticket, was legally qualified to serve under the provisions of the Constitution. And, of course, this document had to go out to all 50 states so that they could put them on the ballot. The trouble is, only one of them had the statement that said they were qualified. 49 of them omitted it. Fraud through and through. And then the article went on to say that Congress knows. And, of course, we beat ourselves to death trying to let them know not to count the electoral votes. So they were all aware that they had an ineligible candidate not meeting the requirements of Article 2, being natural born. And, of course, the press knows. They've been hammering away at it for years. They've written about the Kenyan-born senator from Chicago for years. And Of course, the judiciary knows, having dismissed over 400 lawsuits for the bogus argument of standing. Can you imagine our justices stand up there and say, you citizens don't have any standing under the Constitution? So it's rightly so that we've all become pretty upset. And now the military knows. Yeah, yeah. And now the military knows. I mean, there's been two or three lawsuits, people saying we are not going to obey laws of a commander-in-chief unless we can prove that they're legal laws. And, of course, the latest being Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, who awaits his court-martial for simply demanding that the commander-in-chief prove that he's legitimate. Certainly, as a former officer myself, that oath that I took to defend the Constitution did not end when I left the service, and it doesn't end for anybody in the military, and it doesn't end for any police officer or anybody who has ever taken that oath. It goes on the rest of their life. So it occurred to me that everybody knows except the people. And I run into people all the time that are just stunned when I tell them. They don't want to know. They said somebody would have made an issue of it. Somebody would have done something if that was true. And, of course, we know that somebodies who should have done something have not done anything. And so it occurred to me, having spoken before a city council before, that those, you know, there's about 20,000 cities in the United States, and every one of them must have a city council of some sort or a mayor. And when you go before a city council, everybody has the right to give a 2 or 3 minute rant, whatever it might be, uninterrupted, over a microphone, with cameras rolling in many cases, and it is archived. So why not get citizens to go before their city council and just give a short 3 minute speech or 2 minute speech stating what I've just told you now, what everybody else knows and the people don't know. And I said, I'm going to try it. And I would have done it last night, except the city council was not meeting last night. They're not going to meet until next week. But I will go before our city council, all the five members, including the mayor, and they call numbers and they say, okay, first speaker will be, and you get to speak for your 3 minutes. They have no idea what's coming. And I will present the speech, which I can give you in 3 minutes if you got the time.
Yes, we do. And Neil, thank you very much. And I forgot to introduce you as Captain Neil Turner, so I again wanted to thank you for joining us. One of the things I was struck by in your discussion, your call to all patriots, was something I've been writing about as well, which is really the responsibility we have under Title 18, I believe, of the United States Code, misprision of felony, to report a felony. I was struck by your including that as part of the weight, if you will, adding weight to the testimony before the city council. Can you talk about that a little bit and why you got there as well?
Well, I came across it quite some time ago when I did get involved. And when they had town hall meetings last fall, I said, you know, I'm dying to get up before any member of the Congress who comes to speak here and present a question. You know, why didn't you do anything about it? And why didn't you object to the counting of the electoral votes? All we really needed was one senator and one congressman to say, I object, and then they would have been forced to go into a meeting to discuss the issue of the eligibility, and not one of them did. So as we were notifying them, I was looking for a way to pose a question to, actually it was Congressman Issa Daryl Issa, who was having a big town hall meeting here. And, you know, we all drew straws to see who might get asked their question. Well, I typed up my question, and I passed it out to some people. I said, look, if you get called on, either send me up or you go ask this. And part of that was, why don't, you know, we know you didn't do anything about it then, and you were obligated to. So why don't you do it now, lest you be held responsible or chargeable with misprision of felony? And, you know, I just wanted to throw that out so that they'll come back and say, well, nobody knows what that is. Well, they better look it up. And it really has to do with anybody who has knowledge of a commission of a felony, and they conceal it, but they're also in a position to do something about it. Anybody in a position of authority. And so that little part of 18 U.S.C., which I see you're started quoting, really tells us that anybody who is in a position of authority, which means the entire Congress, is, in fact, violation of 18 U.S.C. and chargeable with misprision of felony. Actually, it's misprision of treason, but I don't like to throw it that hard at them. So that's where that comes from, and I think we should all talk about it.
Well, let's talk about that. I'm just pulling up my misprision of treason article in which I commented on that, and I've called the article actually Malbama, and I peppered the article with pictures of different prisons. And because the crime of doing this is so evident. We have in our chat room this evening an author, JBJD, who you may have read her work, but basically has traced Nancy Pelosi's fraud dead to rights in terms of precisely what she did, when she did it, and really uncovered the conspiracy of putting the perfect chairman of the Democratic National Committee in place, in other words, the Speaker of the House, such that no one would question her signature on a document that verified under oath, under penalty of perjury, that Obama was satisfied the Article II requirements of natural born citizenship. And she found, really uncovered this in four states and some other pieces. But the misprision is really serious because it's also every federal employee, everybody who has has laid this out. So misprision, let me talk about that. In law, any high offense under the degree of capital, but nearly bordering thereon, misprision is contained in every treason and felony. Misprisons are divided into negative and positive. Negative, which consist in the concealment of something which ought to be revealed, and positive, which consist in the commission of something which ought not to be done. Misprision of treason consists in a bare knowledge and concealment of treason without assenting to it. Maladministration in offices of high public trust is a positive misprison. So aside from the eligibility issue, just every single aspect of everybody who's involved in this mess, including the justices. And let me ask you, sorry to sort of interrupt you, but let me ask you again how you would plan to pull that into a you know, a meeting in front of a city council or others. And please continue with your story as well. Sorry to interrupt. And while you're talking, I'm going to bring on Terry Dodd, the president of the Third Continental Congress, and I think you've met him before. Terry, you've got a live mic, and then I'd like to bring him in on this discussion because he has indicated he's going to follow this plan as well as me, and I hope a number of others in our listening audience tonight. So with all that, welcome, Terry, and Neil, please continue.
Okay. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Captain.
Yeah, okay. How am I going to bring it into the city council? Actually, I'm going to hand them documents at the end of the speech.
Mm-hmm.
And Those documents be available to everyone to download and print out, and in effect, it will be a serving of charges, of grand jury presentments, and we might as just well call them indictments. Now, since they are in a position of authority to do something, I just want to get them on notice, which I do in every case when I talk to somebody who's in a position to do something and doesn't. It's putting them on notice, and that's why I put it on a lot of my documents, too. Say, you know, you are on notice, and at some point, the piper may have to be paid. Now, I think that grand jury presentments, the ones that are put together by American grand jury, contains the Nancy Pelosi fraud with the two documents that she signed and notarized. I mean, you just can't excuse it away. It also includes Commander Fitzpatrick's charges of treason. And those two main items, they're the main things that are included in the grand jury presentment. So you hand these to the clerk of the court, or, I mean, of the, what would it be, the city attorney, who's usually there. And after you give those speeches, they expect, do you have a written copy of what you've said? And so you just say, yeah, I'm just presenting it to you right here. And at the bottom of that document, of course, my speech, we'll have this misprision of felony. So they'll be on notice. And the more people who are responsible and perhaps chargeable with this, who know, the better. And at the same time, we'll have a presentation of charges that nobody can deny. It'll be on television. I intend to keep these archived copies available and start sending them out to people as links. Look, here's all you have to do. Just stand up there, present the charges, and let them know that they're guilty of misprision of treason. What do you think of that, Terry?
I like it. I like the whole idea. I like the whole concept, Neil. I've spoken. I've done entitlement applications before county commissioners, and, you know, I've spoken at a few town council meetings about various development projects and things like that. So I understand the setting very clearly of what you're talking about. I've been there. I've done that a few times. I'm anxious kind of to hear your format of your 3-minute speech, because, I mean, I helped write the presentment in the Articles of Freedom at the Continental Congress under Dr. Cates. She was the chair of the eligibility committee for the Articles of Freedom and at the Continental Congress, and I was able to co-author the presentment that we put forth as a part of that particular article. And I can't even envision getting up there for 3 minutes and walking away after 3 minutes. I mean, I would just be getting started at 3 minutes. So I'm really, I think it's going to be good if you've got, you know, that 3-minute speech kind of laid out. And I'm not suggesting everybody should give the same speech, but I believe it may be sufficiently difficult to cover what we need to cover in 3 minutes, that it's a good idea to have a model to start from. And I think your idea is just awesome.
Okay, well, thank you. And do we have 3 minutes right now, Kate?
We definitely have 3 minutes. Yes, please.
Set your clocks, and here we go.
Okay, great.
Honorable Mayor, honorable council members, my name is Neil Turner, and I live at 2299 Bryant Drive in Carlsbad. As elected representatives and therefore employees of we the people of Carlsbad, under oath to uphold and defend our rights under the Constitution, I am here to make you aware of some serious crimes that you, as my most accessible public servants, are my first and apparently last line of defense to have addressed. What are the crimes and what can be done about them? First, I and my fellow citizens of this county have been disenfranchised due to acknowledged and provable election fraud by Nancy Pelosi and the DNC and our Secretary of State for knowingly allowing a constitutionally ineligible candidate for president on the ballot in 2008, and the high crime of treason by Barack Obama for altering our form of government by unconstitutional means, by breaking in and entering our White House by force of contrivance, concealment, wire fraud, election fraud, dissembling, and deceit, and for failing to defend our borders and allowing sanctuary cities to permit foreign-born domestic enemies unobstructed invasion of our sovereign nation. What am I asking you, the city council members, to do? First, present these charges, with the evidence provided, to the county criminal grand jury. Your standing is assured, while mine is not. And two, file charges against our Secretary of State for placing an unvetted and ineligible candidate for president on the ballot, thereby disenfranchising every voter in the state. Presidential candidates shall be natural-born U.S. citizens per Article 2 of the Constitution. And thirdly, to file charges of election fraud, sedition, and treason against Nancy Pelosi, the DNC, and Barack Obama for the aforementioned crimes. To assist you in these, we the people's demands, I am herewith providing you with the bona fide indictment of a Fifth Amendment citizens grand jury, outlining these charges and with all evidence and proofs included. In closing, I would like to add that all active U.S. military officers who are aware that their responsibility to not obey any unlawful orders would include any and all orders and commands that originate with an ineligible and therefore illegal commander-in-chief, and that all military and police officers, active, resigned, or retired, are still under oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and therefore have a lifelong obligation and duty to continue to do so, lest they be charged, as could you, council members, with misprision of felony. Since time is of the essence, I look forward to your immediate response to this urgent request to address these violations of our constitutional rights and to help restore our constitutional republic. Thank you.
Bravo.
Wow.
How'd I do?
Absolutely perfect.
Was it 3 minutes?
Yes.
You're right at it, right on the three-minute mark.
Right, exactly 3 minutes. Terrific. Terry, your responses. Neil, have you done this yet?
No, I was going to do it last night, and then they told me they're not having the meeting.
This is terrific. Go ahead, Terry.
Next Tuesday.
Well, I think that you covered a lot of good stuff in that, and I think that the points that you made, I don't know that I could improve on those. So that was really, really well done.
Well, thank you. I called.
I would add to what you're going to hand out to them to give them the Articles of Freedom. Which they'll see a lot of other things in there besides this, but I assume that you're going to write up that speech and give them a written copy of it so that they will be able to have that exactly what was said as well, correct?
Yes, I'll hand it to them with that on top. And at the bottom of that, you know, I have an asterisk after the misprision of a felony, and which states 18 U.S.C., whatever, or whoever having knowledge, et cetera. So that would be included in it. And then attached, well, the grand jury presentments are reduced now down to 14 pages, which includes the serving document, witness, my signature, that I am serving them. And it has the DNC Pelosi stuff and Commander Fitzpatrick's treason letter and the charges itself. So how long is the Articles of Freedom? How many pages?
Technically, you know, it's been stylized, and the stylized version is, what, about 80 pages, Kate?
Mm.
Yeah, it's about 80 pages. But you could do that, but also there – have you seen the Articles of Freedom, Neil?
Yes, I have.
Yes, so Article 13 is the contains the presentment. I really like what you did, and you know the Article 13 and the Articles of Freedom really focused on the national security element of the commander in chief being a natural born citizen. Everyone has, you know, dumbed it down to the birth certificate or some stupid thing, calling people racist, that the only reason we're asking this question is because he's black. But it really is a serious consideration. And I wonder if there's a way to, I like what you've said, I wonder if there's a way or how would you suggest dropping the national security component in there?
Well, I did at the end when I said the
uphold and defend, yes.
Oh, and for failing to defend our borders and allowing sanctuary cities to permit foreign-born domestic enemies unobstructed invasion of our sovereign nation.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I covered a lot with a couple of words, and people say, what the heck is that? But living here in Southern California, you know, we've got a division of enemy forces crossing our borders every week. Now,
that's
if we
correct.
Had an invasion like that of a foreign force, which is what it is, it's like Pearl Harbor every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of this is not to give them too much. And, of course, the response I get from some of the first people I talk to is, they're not going to listen to you. They won't do anything. I said, I don't expect they will do anything. My objective is to get thousands of these online of various citizens presenting it so that their local fellow citizens will say, holy mackerel, you know, I thought the press took care of this. I thought somebody else took care of this. Because they don't know. They just don't know. And they're all upset. They said, what can we do? You know, once I got involved in this, I was wandering around scaring, saying, what can one person do against this monstrosity? And once you get involved, you feel empowered, and you feel privileged to be able to do something to save your Constitution. So I carry my head high, and every time they say, oh, you're a racist, I smile back at them and say, you are so misled. You know, it's an interesting. Today I got a phone call from somebody raising money to send packages to the troops. And he said, well, you know, we'd like you to support this, sending these wonderful things to our troops. I said, you know, I would be glad to donate to this if you would include in that package notification that everyone in the military is obligated to no longer obey any orders from an illegal commander in chief. And the guy said,
what?
Well, he said, well, you don't like black president? I said, what do you mean? The guy obviously was black. And I said, I don't even like his white half.
Well,
and
you
we
know,
had really a nice discussion. You know, he kept saying, you know, it sounds like you're a racist. I said, no, I'm a constitutionalist. And how can you sit there? And I sent him to various websites. I said, you go look it up. I said, but everybody in the military has an obligation to not obey these orders. And I told him about Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, and he's about to go to court-martial, which, by the way, I don't think it'll ever happen. They can't let it happen.
Yes, that's correct, because if they do, he has the right to get all this information out. You know?
Yeah.
Very good. Terry, what do you have any other comments on this or ideas?
Well, they denied Lakin's right to disclosures during his hearing. That's why they didn't even bother going through with the earlier hearing. Do we have a date, Neil, on when that's going to come up now?
No, still no date on that. They'll put it off and put it off. And that's why I said, okay, we got to do something to let the people know, because the military does know. I think when it gets down to the wire, the military will come through. But we just got to do everything we can until they do.
And is Neil, this has just been of considerable concern to many of us. And we're just, I don't know, I mean, it's everything from, what are they waiting for to, are we as citizens doing enough? Because, as you say, an invasion every day, every moment this Obama's in office is destruction for our country, every single moment. And as he faces the loss of, you know, his majority in Congress, he's going to get meaner. And so there are many of us who feel that impeachment, you know, belongs to real presidents, not to someone like Obama, sort of like we'd like to have him go directly to jail. So what is the military waiting for? What do you think? And is it even appropriate to ask that question?
Well, you know, I used to argue against impeachment. You can't impeach somebody who's not allowed to be there. But then I stopped, not even talking about that, because every step that we take to expose the son of a gun is important. So if they got to impeachment, they'd find out he's ineligible. So, okay, let the impeachment crowd do that. Now, what's with the military? You know, if they are about to do something, they couldn't be letting all of us know, because we spread the word so fast. And it's just a gut feeling I have with some of the senior officers who are strangely silent. You know, how many generals are there? How many retired ones? And they must be on first-name basis with some of the active ones. And, you know, whereas we can't talk to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, although we've certainly sent them a few messages, certainly some of these retired officers have been able to talk to them. And we have some on our side. So I've just... It's kind of the faith I have in what they've been through. They can't all be that corrupt, but they can't spill the beans. I mean, what happened in Honduras? How much advance notice was there? And I think that's what's going to have to happen here.
Well, that was, I found extremely interesting, because that was actually legally proper, what happened in Honduras. And Obama was quickly out there calling it a coup. And he must have seen the writing on the wall on that one. Because, you know, then everyone started calling it a coup, when I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, no, that's correct, and that's actually what should happen here. But you're right. They couldn't let it out there. Now, General Valley, what do we hear of his efforts and not to focus too much attention, but I presume you're talking about people like that who can talk to other people.
Yes, I am. And, you know, Valley asking for him to resign, obviously he's not going to resign.
Right.
it's a way of getting the message out that the military is upset. And so... I just take it for what it's worth. I don't have any special inside notification. I just have some gut feelings that that it's going to happen before the elections, because we won't have elections. I mean, the elections are so corrupt. None of our votes counted. We didn't have any say in the last election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did they do? They put up an ineligible so-called Republican, because McCain, of course, was not born.
Exactly.
McCain was born of two U.S. citizen parents, but he was not born on U.S. soil. It was sovereign land of another country. So they figured they'd slush that one through. But you can bet if McCain won, the Democrat Party would raise the issue. He's ineligible.
Yes, that's exactly correct. I mean, it was just ridiculous, because we were disenfranchised completely, 100%. We have a caller who's been on for a while, caller 915. Would you like to join our conversation? Have a question, please let us know who you are.
Sure, why not? This is Mark McCrew, and I was calling to say hello to Neil Turner.
Very good.
Oh, Mark, Texas. We don't have any trouble down there.
Neil,
sorry for keeping you on the line, keeping you muted for so long. Please, gentlemen, go ahead.
That's okay. I appreciate your having the show and having Neil on tonight, because Neil has been one of the most active supporters and one of the most loyal people to this drive to get Obama removed, and he's supported most of the attorneys and most of the blog radio people, writers, and everybody in the universe that's trying to remove Obama. But I just kind of wanted to ask Neil one thing about your speech, your 3-minute speech to a city council. What is the possibility of a city council or a county commissioners saying, no, we don't want to hear that, shut up and get out?
Well, that's the beauty of speaking before city councils. Everybody has the right to make their own rant, uninterrupted, without comment. Matter of fact, the city council, by law here, is not allowed to even ask you any questions. The mayor does sometimes. Any questions, he always throws it out. But it's kind of like when a judge says, I'll tell you how to judge the law. Jury, you go back and deliberate on the letter of the law, which is totally controversial, contrary to the Constitution. But the same way here, the thing that brought me to the point of this is that they can't interrupt you. It's an uninterrupted speech, written, spoken, over a loudspeaker, and recorded. And so everybody has a chance to make their message.
But, Neil, do you know if there's any magic words or any legal terminology you can use if the council just arbitrarily says, okay, shut up, we don't want to hear you? Is there anything I can say to them to make them listen?
They may stop in the middle. That's right, and I'm sure it will happen in different places. I'll be doing some more research on that, and anything that any of you can come up with would appreciate. I mean, I've had difficulty trying to find out how many city councils there are in the United States. And all I could come up with is about 20,000 cities. So maybe they all have councils.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think every county would have a slightly different law. But and I don't know if it's a national, if it's a federal law.
I'll look
legal,
into that,
legal
too.
I would appreciate if they could look into it.
Yeah, I'll do some research on that too, Neil. But, you know, the idea that you're expounding is good. You know, we've tried for, 2 years now, chipping away at the top of the pyramid, trying to get rid of this guy, and we just keep getting thrown off the top. And to go on to a local basis, where people all over the country go local, that's one way we can do it. So I like that idea. I support it, and I've gotten some of your emails. So I'll go ahead and do some research on that to try to find out how to maintain a presence of continuing your speech without being interrupted. We'll see what we can find out about that.
Yeah, because after a few of them get out there, people will be starting, councils will know and say, whoa, you better stop this guy before he gets up there.
Well, where I live in El Paso, Texas, and it's 99% Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty obstructive in this town. That's why El Paso is one of the least developed towns in the country.
Yep. Okay.
But anyway, that was about what I wanted to have to say, and I really appreciate you. Like I say, I appreciate you having Neil on, because he is right on key with what he's doing, and like I said, he has supported just about everybody in this movement. And I call it a movement because it is a movement. A large percentage of this country is in motion trying to get this person out of the White House and all his people backing him up. But anyway, I'll keep quiet. That's what I wanted to say. I just want to say hello to Neil and Dr. Kate. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you for coming on. I believe Terry Dodd has a question for you.
Oh, hello, Mr. Dodd. Hi.
Hi, Mark. I believe that the tone with which Neil presented that three-minute speech was just as important as the speech itself. You know, if we go into a town council meeting and we act like we're blaming them or come with anger or inappropriate emotion, let's say, we might be subject to being shut down. But if you come with a degree of humility and a degree of manly firmness in your speech, and of course a woman is capable of doing that as well. You know what I mean.
I know what you're saying.
The point is that you don't go in there like you're with Code Pink and present yourself in such a way that would warrant them shutting you down. It's like when you're going in to get on a jury. You don't go in there and alarm people to things that would cause them to throw you off of that jury, especially if it's a constitutional issue where you should be getting on that jury and having the right to judge the law. Well, the same thing, you've got to go in with the right attitude, because it's that attitude that is more likely to get you tossed out shut down than what they're saying. And I think we need to make that point clear to people. And Mark, I assume you're ready to pick up that three-minute speech and go put it to use, are you not?
For $5, I would.
I got five.
Okay. Now,
kind
know,
of on
Neil,
the high side there.
Yeah, Neil is a very calming force, C-A-L-M-I-N-G, very calming force. And he's been an excellent guiding hand to an awful lot of people in this movement. And what you're talking about as far as attitude, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying because Neil is like that, and Neil has calmed me down many, many times when I was ready to go ballistic.
Yeah, I know.
So let me say to all, my blog, Dr. Kate's View, has really been focusing on this. I've been on it as well for a long time, and it's driven me crazy. But let me suggest that, Neil, when you are ready with that speech, and I can also transcribe it from the talk tonight because this is recorded or archived, I'm ready to put that up on the blog as a package for people to download and use because I think that is something that is really going to take off. It is something that's not expected. You're right about the cameras. Almost every city has a city council meeting, and they're all shot on TV. So there you go. So let me just make that offer, including any other research that is done on, you know, what to do in case they shut you down. And as well, I think the comment about attitude and approach is perfect. You know, you can wear pink, but you do not have to be code pink. And it's pretty important because I think there are also some other things to say. And that is, illegal is not racist.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just have to confront that, not only just laugh about it and say, this is about the Constitution, but that's an old, tired line that is not having much effect, but in some places it still could have an effect.
No, so I agree. I just ignore it when I hear that word.
Yeah, yeah.
It's stupid.
They called me today, and you know, trying to get the money for the packages to the troops. Yeah, you must be a racist.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, let's talk about it. I said, I don't like his white side either, his white half.
Yeah. Yeah, make a joke out of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of other points here. You know, when I heard Pastor Manning's summation at his trial, the thing that caught me the most was when he said that if you're aware that Obama is not a natural-born citizen and yet you challenge his policies, you are in effect saying his presidency is legitimate. And that's why I stopped challenging anything about him and all those who are challenging him directly. You know, stop the health care bill, stop this, stop that. You're assuming that he's legitimate in passing these things. So I finalized this, I'm making this little statement that I'll be putting out, that any bill he signs is illegitimate, and it is treasonous to imply that you respect his right to sign any bill.
That's right.
Or issue any executive or command orders when you know he has no right to be in office. And that leads right back to the misprision of felony. Once you are aware, if you do petition him, you are complicit.
Well, that's, you know, I am so glad you mentioned that because I wrote an article called The Silver Bullet just precisely because of that. I got another petition to not support Elena Kagan. And I just have had it. I said, don't send me any more petitions. This guy doesn't even have any legitimacy at all. So this has led to a group of us, we're called Stop Them Cold, to basically what we're calling, it's kind of silly, a usurpathon, but we're going to start this ongoing effort. We're going to do the first event in September. We just basically want them to stop doing anything until they investigate and get rid of this guy. And so we're seeking to create, you know, to pull on a broad movement. And I'm thinking, Neil, that if people catch on to this idea that you have and start working with it, and you know, we get it out and people have a package and start doing this, when we start doing this work in DC and in other places, it's going to bring a lot of people in. I mean, ideally, we'd like to shut down the Capitol, of course, until he's out. We also feel like it's now. We don't feel we can wait till November, and which is what was curious to me when you said whatever might happen with the military might happen before the elections or will happen before the elections, because the concern for many of us is not wanting to bring on martial law, not wanting to provoke, and yet absolutely we can't wait. We wait for a judge to decide it's over. We wait for November elections. These folks are not scared about November.
Well,
that's
see,
something pretty scary about that.
Yeah, Dr. Kate, what you're talking about is action. And, you know, most of these organizations, these groups, the bloggers, the writers, mainly what they do is, you know, whine and groan and complain and blah, blah, blah. Whereas, you know, you're talking about actually taking action, which is one of the things I respect about Neil. Because Neil is an action guy. He's not interested in sitting around complaining all day and going, boo-hoo, and let's get another six-pack. But we need action right now. We need to quit talking and start acting, because it's, like you just said a little while ago, every single day this country is being undermined by this guy. So we just need to keep continuing promoting action. So I hope, Dr. Kate, that you know you and I will be talking some more, because I really don't particularly care to talk to people that just whine and complain and moan and groan. And Neil knows this. We just need to start motivating people and get some activities going on.
I completely agree, and I thank you. That's why I've had it. We've got to do something, and it's now. And I'm just wondering, again, if we can gather many, maybe this will do it. But anyway, I'd like to just not exactly wrap up this session, but ask if anyone out there has any questions to please call in. The number is 347-838-9176. And Terry, you've been pretty quiet out there. Talk with us about what you think about this grand jury presentments and possibly doing this with the county commissioners.
Well, I, you know, there's towns as well as cities, so make everybody aware that there's town councils as well as city councils, and there is also this possibility of getting in front of county commissioners meetings if there's not a town or a municipality. You can also possibly do the same thing for a county.
If they have
I'm
the
thinking,
right to the uninterrupted speech.
In some cases, I believe it'd be a good idea to take your own camera crew.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be less likely to stop
right.
you if you come with the right attitude, you come with the right humility, and there's some people there. Like, for example, you got to know who you're dealing with. Somebody suggested alerting your local newspaper. Well, I've got one local newspaper that wouldn't even post the public service announcements for the Continental Congress election we held last fall. But I've got a new newspaper called The Constitutionalist here in Colorado now, who I can call Lana that owns that, and she'll be there and bring her camera with her and be ready to report on it. And I believe that having some press exposure or somebody filming it would be an excellent idea, and throw it up on YouTube. We've got Stan in our chat room who I know who Stan is. He and I correspond some, but he's really good with recordings and things like that. And I guarantee you, if he shows up in Carlsbad when you're doing that speech, and he's wanting to know what time he should be there, by the way, he's probably gonna record it and put it up on YouTube probably.
You're in Orange County, aren't you?
I'm sorry.
You're in Orange County, Terry.
I'm actually just outside of Denver, Colorado.
Oh, okay. It's a little far to come to Carlsbad, but I did get approval, though. I checked with them, and
you're talking about Stan. Stan in the chat room is in California.
Okay. I can. It's going to be Tuesday nights at 6:00, and I'll be there. And I did check with them, and I said, "Can somebody videotape while I make a 3-minute speech. I didn't tell them what it was going to be, and they said yes, as long as they don't interrupt the meeting, you know. So somebody could sit down front, and they could get a clear shot of the podium. And but for you, Dr. Kate, I will have a video presentation of this speech and the words of it. I'll get it out to you tomorrow. I'm going to videotape it. I'm just, my computer's down right now.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. That'll be very good. And Stan, thank you in advance for doing that. Now, let me just turn this around a little bit, and with knowledge that I completely support this effort, which is why I wanted you on here, and I'm so glad you all came, what do you think about other large-scale action, like what I'm talking about, demonstrating, you know, essentially pressing Congress, or essentially following these politicians around with the appropriate signage. What do you think? I mean, in some ways I want to say we need to attack on all fronts, if you will. On the other hand, I don't want to dilute efforts that actually could be more effective, this slow, very effective education of people who don't know what has happened in our country. But what do you think about this usurpathon? Let me turn it around the other way. Is it useless? Obviously, the lawsuits aren't going anywhere. And maybe it's not time for baseball bats yet, but what do you think?
You know, the demonstrations, you know, when 2 million people show up, and even Fox News says there's only 75,000. You just wonder how much good that's going to do. But everything helps. I mean, most of the country knows that there were millions of people there. It's just that the press doesn't want anybody to know. So I can't fault it. Getting everybody out for that, it means that many more people know.
Neil, Kate termed a phrase about a year ago, or actually longer than a year ago, and said that it's going to take 1,000 cuts to bring this down.
Yeah.
And I believe she was right then, and I've never wavered on my belief that her statement is absolutely correct. So I believe that everything that we do is important. Our Third Continental Congress, Neil, has a civic action committee. And finding good civic actions that people will be willing to do are not really all that easy to come up with, because, you know, that you look at the Tea Partiers and people have been willing to make signs and show up at a place and stand around and talk and show their signs. But that really hasn't changed the element of standing for us. I believe that what you're suggesting here is so powerful. I know I don't need your permission, but I'm going to ask for it anyway. I want to know if I can go out and get 3 dozen people across the country and do this as an official civic action of the Third Continental Congress, because I believe our people are ready and have the courage and certainly the wherewithal and the knowledge to go out and to do this.
I would be thrilled. I would. That's exactly what I was hoping. You know, when I talk to local friends, they say nobody's going to do anything. And yet, I sent it out to a large list of people, and one of the members of the American grand jury from New York, who was at the trial, he got back to me. He says, "I'm already contacting my people. We're going to get out there and do it." I said, "Well, wait till I finish the speech." So, yes, I think we can get this thing rolling and get little groups, 4 or 5 people in every town. I'm stoked, and I'm not even nervous about standing up giving that first speech.
You know, Terry, who's our president of the Third Continental Congress, I really want to thank you for pointing that out as a civic action. As chair of the Eligibility Committee and also as secretary of the Third Continental Congress, I was unsure of my role, but I've just been, you know, really anxious to do something, and Captain Turner's idea came along here, and I am just so grateful you're here and you mentioned that, and as you already know, you have my support 100%, and there again, Neil, it really works not only for the Third Continental Congress to have your testimony and video because we can get that out to everybody all over the country, but also on my blog, that others who are readers can get this out, and the blog network, we can get this out as well. So, Terry, that really was just perfect. Thank you very much.
We have a network. We have a network of people of about 100 people covering 48 states, and I believe most of them would be willing to do this.
Okay. I'm stoked. Thank you. Yeah. On another front, I think the Ground Zero may even become Madisonville. And Commander Fitzpatrick and Darren Huff. You know, there's some, all the way to the top, they're aware of what's happening there. And I'll tell you how bad they are involved. Now, you know, Darren Huff was an Oath Keeper and a member of the Georgia militia. And because he got involved in the eligibility issue and publicity, both the Georgia militia and Oath Keepers asked him to resign. They kicked him out. They did not want the publicity. But here's where this is going. You know, Darren Huff went to the the April 1st attempt to make a citizen's arrest by Commander Fitzpatrick. And he was a videographer there. They had three or four videographers. Never did anything except take some pictures. His name never came up. He never got charged with anything. On the 28th of April, when he was going to the arraignment, that's when they had that arrest. They gave a felony arrest of this guy as he was pulling into town. And if you know what a felony arrest is, you step out of your car with your hands on top of your head and you back towards the officers and they have guns drawn. This was because he supposedly made a rolling stop. So there were 20 police officers there. It was a setup. They were looking for an incident. Now, since then, Huff has been arrested on a federal charge, which has nothing to do with Commander Fitzpatrick and the whole issue. But they're trying to roll it into it. And that was because he was driving between states and he had his camouflage vehicle and he had all his military equipment in it, even his, what do they call it for a sniper? They call him gunny or guinea, gully, ghillie suit. Well, he had a ghillie suit, and they're charging him with riot and all sorts of things. Now, what they're trying to do is link the first meeting he was at when he just was a videographer and never did anything and never got involved with all the other things and trying to roll it into charges. And I don't know where it's going to go because they've got nothing on Fitzpatrick. You know, he's been charged with riot, and it was obviously not a riot. It was a false arrest of Fitzpatrick. So things are heating up there, and I did get a call from Darren Huff who reminded me that his defense, which has been put up by the government, is doing everything to hold things off and extend it. He wanted a speedy trial, and they delayed things without asking him. Well, just a heads up. We got to keep our eye on Monroe. Okay?
Yes, that is actually extremely concerning. We have a question in the chat room from a fellow Californian to talk about the meeting with Bill Bray in May.
Mm-hmm.
And how uninformed and unconcerned and clueless this guy is.
Yeah. What was the question? Or you just want
to... Just to talk a little bit about that meeting.
Well, Bill Bray, of course, he's been very active with... he's a kind of a lone Republican here in Southern California, and conservative and fighting for securing the borders. And so about a year ago, we tried to get him to state on the record why the Congress would not object to Obama And we had a petition, 100 people signed a petition. We just want to get something in writing why Congress refused to do anything about Obama. And we figured somebody on our side would be able to tell us. Well, of course, he's avoided it. He never would put anything on record. And we got three of us got a meeting with him. And being the typical politician, he just led things off, and he knew we were going to be talking about the birth certificate, or at least eligibility. And, you know, at the beginning of the conversation, he said, you know, you find out what passport he used when he went to Pakistan in 1981, and then you got something to work with. But the meeting was just, you know, he rambled on like politicians do, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. And when I posed the question to him, why did Congress not have one representative and one senator object, since everybody knew this man was ineligible? And his response was, they would have voted us down. The majority would have said, shut up, which meant he didn't know the law. And he went into a rambling thing about English law, English common law, cattle roaming across another farmer's land, and under whose jurisdiction is that cattle? So he was being pretty obfuscatory, if you please. And I did confront him at that meeting with, you know, I said, Congressman, I've been doubly disenfranchised. I said, the first time was when I had to be an elector against somebody who was ineligible. But the second time was when you, Congressman, refused to object. Oh, and when you counted all 55 electors from California, and one of them you knew was dead for 6 years. Silence. For once, he was silent. And, of course, I've never been able to get back to him. But it was an exposure of what even a so-called conservative Republican is doing to hide this thing. So that's where it's at. I haven't been able to get back. I call the office every now and then. I said, I had some questions in my letter, and never available.
It's really shameful, because it's like they've all decided to hang together, apparently, on this one.
Yeah.
Regarding the unfortunate story of Huff, it's also in the Tea Party stuff and all of the so-called patriot movements. Nobody wants to be called a birther. And yet, you know, this is the most fundamental violation that's going on. We can undo just about everything based on this. What do you say to, I mean, I've taken the place where I'm not even going to try to convince anybody who's afraid of being labeled a birther because there's no time. What do you think about that or approaches?
Whenever it comes up, I said, no, I'm not a birther. I'm an Article II constitutionalist.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't, you're guilty of treason. And
perfect. Have you heard of Mish Prison? I guess we should have some Mish Prison of Treason little flashcards to hand out.
Yeah. You know, rather than say the Mish Prison, unless you're talking to a lawyer or somebody on a council, I just say you're complicit in treason. I just use
complicit
the same
in treason.
Yeah.
I know, because it's hard to pronounce that word and nobody knows it. Terry, any other thoughts do you have on this?
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Go for it.
You know, I went to the Republican precinct caucus, you know, and I presented 8 resolutions and got all 8 of them voted through, and got to the county level, and it was very interesting that that 2 of the 8 resolutions did not show up at the county assembly ballot for the resolutions. And one of them was counting, electronic vote counting being banned, and the other one was making people produce proper documentation showing, demonstrating their eligibility prior to getting on a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And those were dropped. Those were dropped from a Republican platform to be voted on at the county level. I'm just quietly out there talking to people, finding out who the committee people were, that, you know, made the decision as to which ones to drop. They're only supposed to drop the ones that are duplication. That they're, in other words, if there's two of them that are so similar that, you know, it doesn't make sense to have both of them on there. So they'll pick one of whichever one they think's best. And you know, there may be three or four resolutions like that, or eight, you know, that are similar, and they reduce it down to one. But in this case, there was no other similar resolutions there. Hmm. Now I'm finding that we've got a guy who won, that actually won the highest number of votes at the state assembly for governor for the state of Colorado. And they are trying, I'm talking the backroom boys, the party insiders, are trying to do everything they can to discredit him and make him look like somebody who can't win. And the guy that they put up has all kinds of problems integrity wise. I mean, they found out that one of the richest Muslim foundations in the state paid this guy $300,000 for a water report that he plagiarized. And in the meantime, instead of saying, okay, well, you know, this guy's our man, they're out there either still behind him or suggesting that he should drop out and somebody else should come in as a write-in. And they will not get behind this guy who is the people's choice. And the reason, you know, there's lots of reasons. Let me give you some ideas here. A governor appoints the judges. He appoints the state Supreme Court justices. If they've got control of that and they can play their little games, their little power trip games, you know, then everybody stays clean. Everybody, you know, stays in control of their corporate structure. But if you put a guy in there that's not listening to those backroom boys, and instead of, you know, bringing up their choices that some little committee over here chooses a couple of people that the governor can then rubber stamp somebody on. If you've got a governor that's not willing to do that, well, that whole machine just kind of falls apart. And they lose all kinds of controls over things like toll roads, for example, and the asphalt contractors that get these big contracts where, you know, it might take $500,000. Now I'm talking about Texas. Let's just point the finger right at Mr. Perry down there, okay? Mm-hmm. You've got somebody who's brings in regulations under the name of being green that wants a water base instead of a tarred base, a seal coat system, because the tarred base will end up, you know, breaking down and getting into the water supply, they say. But what happens is that when you get rid of the good seal coat, it means that the roads will deteriorate faster, and all of these people who they're getting payments from are setting up in positions to basically steal the wealth of the state. They'll give a contract to one of those guys for $2 billion to do something else another guy can do for $500,000. And guess where the other, billion and a half goes? It gets spread around. Well, mm-hmm. If you've got a governor like Bilderberger Perry down there, you know, this is what's going on inside of the Republican Party. And I'm a Republican. I mean, I've been a staunch Republican for the last, you know, 40 years. So I'm saying that we've got a lot of things that are going on here that we're facing that we've got to go up against, and we've got to beat this at the level of the people. We've got to educate enough people to get them to take the stand. And what you're talking about here is a perfect education tool. I can't think of a better one from a grassroots perspective, where you've got people that are being activists in their local community and stepping up and educating the people in their local community. If we can get a couple thousand people to do this across the country, I think it will start a tidal wave.
That's what I want. 10,000 presentations in 10 weeks. Let's go for it. Yeah, the first one to do it, get the message out, and we'll get it up on YouTube.
I mean, you see what I'm talking about, guys.
Yeah, that's excellent. Can you get the Continental Congress folks to do it? How about Tony Doltz from California?
Yeah. We've got access to Tony. We can get Tony. I don't know if it'd be beneficial to get orderly tapes or not. But.
Yeah,
I know.
No, let her keep doing her thing. I've been on.
Anyway, I've got people over in Monroe County too. By the way, I'm from Tennessee originally. What was the attorney's name that got was a political prisoner for a while? Kate helped me out. We had him on the show or something.
Foley, something like that. In Tennessee.
Yes.
Foley or something like that. Posey. I'm losing track.
Can't remember.
I'm sorry, I got a mental block on it. Anyway, I bet you we could get him to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, no. I mean, this is very exciting to me because this is really just a blitz effort we could really undertake, and it's serious. And perhaps then again, I'm going back to the military because I also believe that. I really believe in the oath they took, and I have a lot of faith in our military. And that's why I think Obama wants his brown shirts and why he's inviting foreign troops here. And frankly, why our military is overseas. They can't protect us if they're over there. And that's what worries me. But I think an effort like this, if it can spread like wildfire, maybe it would demonstrate, you know, that the people are really concerned too. And, you know, in other words, hello, anytime you want to step in here, you know, the people are going to back you.
Yeah, yeah.
Jet put in Leo Haffey on the chat. Thank you, Jet.
That's right, Leo Haffey. That's right.
Right. He fights some of this, but maybe he'll get involved in this if anybody can talk with him.
Well, we have him on the Stop Them Cold group.
Yeah,
yeah, see, now this really gives shape and form to, you know, the usurpathon, because this can be like a constant thing. People can go to city council meetings every Tuesday, you know, or every time they meet and keep doing this. And that would be a constant, you know, a constant focused effort as well. So this gives a lot of hope to that.
That's why I suggested 5 or 6 people in a city. And each week, a different one do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could even have 3 of them do it, one right after the other, and all give the same speech, the same meeting.
Yes.
People can get creative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
very good. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us this evening, Neil. This is just terrific. Any other thoughts on... you know, just some other things that are going on. What do you make of, for example, the fact that most of our troops are out of here? Is that a deliberate strategy as well?
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They should have been pulled back a long time ago. I mean, I want to see elections and new elections. It's the only way. You know, we can't use the same corrupt people and the same corrupt parties. And so getting the people aware, you know, there's millions of people are sitting in their homes wondering, what the hell can I do? They're all upset.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when they just tune into their local channel and see somebody saying, hey, you're not alone, I think it'll catch on like wildfire.
Mm-hmm. Terry, it's like Red's idea on grand juries and the wolves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 Terry, what do you think?
You want me to elaborate on this?
Sure, yes.
Someone just asked a question in the chat room about, is there a third Continental Congress and being planned now? I responded that we are continuing to meet and are now modifying our bylaws to be able to grow the delegate membership. And I hesitate to throw that out to Mark and to Neil right this second, but it's certainly a consideration. I believe that these are the type of people that we're looking for to join the Third Continental Congress and to be able to represent their respective states. And so we're modifying our bylaws in order to make it so, because an organization like this, if you're not growing, you're dying, and attrition will catch up with you. And we need to continue this civic action that group that we're working with and coming up with new and innovative ways to educate the populace. And so we're anxious to be able to get these bylaws changed so that we can add to our delegate base and and grow it. And you guys are certainly the type of people that we'd be looking for to bring in as advisors and with these type of ideas. And we want to be a communication center for educating the people. And honestly, we want to start doing more civil disobedience. And by that, I don't mean anything that's not peaceful. I'm talking about peaceful actions that will resist the tyranny that's coming out of Washington, D.C., and as well as some of our state capitals. We believe that we've got to really make it happen at the state level. We really don't believe that much of what we do on a national level is really going to have any great impact, but we believe that if we can take control of our precincts, if we can really get a national education program going for the general public so that they will become more active in their states and get more involved on a deeper level than really the Tea Parties. Although we're working with the Tea Parties, we're trying to communicate with a number of different organizations because they've got a broader base of people, and they're certainly provide opportunities where we can go speak to them and provide educational opportunities where you've got a crowd. Sometimes instead of trying to draw that crowd, it's better to find where the crowd is and take the education to them. And just like you're doing with this concept on the town council. But the point is that we're trying to have a much bigger impact than just generating the Articles of Freedom. There's a number of those that we're continuing to work on, like the 14th Amendment and the 17th Amendment. Some of those that we did not really get to, or we didn't have the opportunity to do them justice when we were in St. Charles last fall, when we produced the Articles of Freedom. So there are some of those articles that we're going to have to increase those articles and publish some new articles, and we're working on that as well. So we've got a lot of work to do, and we need more people. We need people who are already knowledgeable and have these kinds of ideas that we can work on a peaceful basis, but really, really have an impact. And you know, peaceful civil disobedience is right now, we got to do that. So what do you guys have to say about that? Is that something that you know, even you would consider?
Well, we can't hold a conference in San Diego because we're boycotting San Diego as we boycott Arizona. San Diego came up with that.
We've been meeting virtually.
Yeah, that's much better.
Well, you know, go ahead, excuse me.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you were, oh, okay. Well, Terry, thank you for announcing those changes with the Third Continental Congress. For the listeners out there, there is a real opportunity for you to join the Third Continental Congress, increase our membership and action. But with a specific regard to the actions we're talking about tonight, this is definitely something Third Continental Congress can and will do. But we were also talking about work on the Gulf Coast. And why I'm saying this, Neil, is what I appreciate so much about the effort you have is there's a solid intellectual background behind it and constitutional background behind it. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward there. And I know that Terry and I both saw the Gulf incident, not only which is still ongoing, for the tragedy and lies and so forth that it is, but also an enormous opportunity to educate the public, perhaps in the same way, going to city councils, as to how the government's response is completely inappropriate and unconstitutional and so forth. I honestly feel right now, me personally, the usurper, we've got to get him out. But it's, again, going back to the place where constitutional governance, we talk about what that means. And constitutional governance, what that means in the context of a usurper in the White House, is everybody realizes we are responsible and we have to deal with this and there's a way to do it. And it's kind of the same way with these other civic actions, is to understand that if we want to fix what's going on here, we have to pick up we have to pick these pieces up now. We have to really take the bull by the horns and do it. There is no one who's responding, and it is true our troops are overseas. So again, the concept of a Third Continental Congress really championing many of these efforts, and I view I wouldn't call it civil disobedience, but what a civic action you are talking about, Neil. Terry, did you want to expand on how this might relate to the Gulf action that we were talking about as well?
Well, we've been looking for ways to, somebody acted like they were familiar with Red's concept on the wolves up in Montana
yes.
and Idaho.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, the concept there is you take something that is a subject that's sensitive to that particular locality, and you come up with a way to educate them on constitutional issues and get them to, in essence, be civil disobedient by daring them, if you will, to come up with a jury that will convict somebody. I mean, the wolves, they have shut down, for those listeners who haven't heard this story, they shut down the hunting season up in Montana for deer and elk and moose because of the Canadian wolves that the endangered species people brought in. They weren't Montana type wolves. They were Canadian wolves. They were much larger and much more prolific than the Montana wolf was, and they brought them in, and they've cut down on the herd so much that they called off the hunting season. Well, that is a major industry up there in Montana. That's food to people up there, and hunting is a big part of their lives. And so what Red has proposed through the people up there is that the people declare an open season on those wolves and dare anybody to charge them and then find a jury that will convict them. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a similar situation with the Gulf of Mexico down here. We need to be educating the people down there that on constitutional issues, especially with regard to state sovereignty. One of our officers, David Helms, who's also on the board with Oath Keepers, which surprises me that he didn't raise Almighty Cain about Huff. But at any rate, he started contacting sheriffs along the Gulf Coast. The first three sheriffs that he called down there admitted that they had ceded their power to BP.
Mm.
County sheriffs.
Jeez.
Now, they don't have the right to do that. They took an oath of office. They can't cede their power to somebody that's not elected there locally. It's totally unconstitutional what they're doing. Well, you know, we've got to take advantage of these type of situations and use this to educate the populace, because if we can get people to recognize that they have the right to judge the law, we need to get everybody going on the FEJA site, the Fully Informed Jury Association site. Every citizen in this country needs to go there. It should be required reading for all of them, for them to go and discover what it means to have a second and third vote, to be able to vote as a petit juror or as a grand juror, and how you have the right to judge the law. And as a grand juror, you've got the right to go investigate anything and anybody, including the judge that called you.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt, but we have less than a minute, and I just wanted to say that this is also, with regard to the sheriffs, the same thing, guilty of treason for giving that thing up. I'd like to thank you all very much for coming this evening, really, Neil, look forward to your work, and we'll get this going. Terry, we'll talk with you later. Good night, all. Thank you very much for joining us. Please be sure to catch Walls in Our Minds tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Thanks very much.
Hey, thank you.
Good night, Neil. Good night, Mark.
Good night, guys.
Good night, all. Thank you for coming.
Okay.
We've got about a minute of music. You can hang on if you'd like to.
By the way, I talked to Pastor Manning. You there?
Yes, excellent.
Yes.
He is not going to be filing his charges on Congress until another 6 to 8 He wants to make sure they have no way out. They must either arrest him or do a full-scale congressional investigation.
Excellent.
What he's doing to do it, but that's what he... So that's still in motion.
Very good. We'll catch up some more.
By the way, that's a 10th grand jury, whereas we have Fifth Amendment citizens grand jury. Okay, I'm signing off.
My heart to fear. Just wishing that my life would change.